Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Crypto Sparta podcast. We have Brian and special guest Andrew today. And we're going to get into the market and then the normie perspective. So stay tuned. Let's start off, Brian, where are we at with Ethereum and Bitcoin?
Yeah, so I think we're back to where we were in March and May. Or before it crashed, and like Bitcoin is, you know, cruising right now. This is a really bullish weekend. Bitcoin is now like pushing towards like 52,000. It's at 51,741. And Ethereum has just been wanting 4,000. It's been like teetering, you know, around like 3,900, was at 3,982. Yesterday it went to 4,000 briefly, and then it went back down. So it's like at a resistance point.
I saw Majin, a famous bear that sells rugs and NFTs of rugs. He's a Middle Eastern or Arab guy, and he's a notorious bear that opens some really heavy shorts. And then I heard
bad for him.
That a lot of leverage is coming in on the plus side for like Ethereum to just bust through 4,000. And I think it might be a bit of a bull trap, because if enough leverage goes on the plus side, then I think whales could just like just drop it through the floor to get some chains and just like do a quick wipe out of the leverage, because people are getting really bullish.
They were saying that last week though, and nothing really happened.
No, but like, if you look at the like funding, pushing back, there are more and more people upping the leverage that they're doing their longs with on Ethereum and Bitcoin. So people are feeling really confident. And then once enough orders, you know.
Yeah, then it's like tipping point, burst, bubble burst.
I don't know.
But I don't know,
man. I'm bullish, though. I'm still bullish.
I think we're starting to get that euphoria, just like even, not like top euphoria, but it's kind of like, you know, crypto Twitter's kind of back, and it's like, you know, jokes on the bears.
I think everybody who didn't like just buy the exact top is even. Like, if you're still underwater, how did that happen? Like, what did you do?
I bought Ethereum at like 4,300, close to the top, and now it's like basically break even. It's like close to 4,000. So
no, and people really were like, oh, idiot. You bought all that crypto and it just dipped like 50%.
Yeah, you bought the top, like now you're not gonna get your money back. But
did you buy the dip, friend?
So like if you bought anything in May, you probably made a shit ton of money no matter what you bought. Like Ethereum, yeah. Bitcoin,
Solana.
Like if you wanted to enter crypto,
did we talk
like
about Jason Derulo May. Talking about Solana?
No, what?
So he tweeted about it. He was like, I got into Solana, like, I don't know if it was before May or if it was during the summer, but, and then, you know, he has his song, I'm Riding Solo.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm riding Solana.
Oh my God.
And apparently he just like probably five or whatever X. I mean, if you bought it before the recent all time highs, the highest you could have bought it, I got in at 20, got out at 40. It went up to like 50-ish.
Even the dip, so May. And back in May when it dropped.
And now it's 150. So you could have gotten to 10x.
It was at $30. I remember watching it in June and July. And I was watching it hard because it just got listed on Coinbase. And it's just been skyrocketing. Yeah. Now it's at 140, closing at 150.
Well, I'm looking to launch this NFT project, and we are seriously looking at launching it on Solana instead of Ethereum.
Is there, I don't know how the logistics of doing it on Sol versus Ethereum.
The developer that I know knows stuff. Shout out Yiv Gangsta, my Ukrainian homie, ex-roommate. But yeah. Andrew, how are you feeling though? What's the normie sentiment?
Yeah. After that dip in May, how are you feeling? You want to?
I mean, first and foremost, I think it should be stated that they're talking about leverage and just general things, that when they're going to bring a normie on here, they should actually do a job of explaining certain terms that will help someone like me understand that further. But that's a topic for another day. In terms of how I'm feeling confident that my investments are going to be surfing and sliding. In other words, you know, I got in on January 1st buying one Ethereum at $700. And that obviously had me very excited. I was really convinced that I should get off Robinhood. And that's how I then just opened up my MetaMask wallet and really started getting down and dirty on the decentralized exchange. So from Urstel to Phantom to Ocean, those are my three that I'm kind of have in my wallet right now. They've taken me down low, but now they've you know, we're back as you started. Phantom's this
all-time highs.
Phantom
is
and that's another thing. Yeah, so Daniel gave me 1,000 Phantom. That's the other thing. So that was back in February.
For the Crypto Sparta Academy videos that are
I think it was valued at like $200 at the time, or I forget. 1,000 Phantom is what I'm saying. I don't know what the price was.
Probably like 20 cents, 30 cents.
Yeah.
Maybe less.
But yeah, so, I mean, I also want to do, I'd like to learn more about just general things about yield farming and staking, that whenever I hear those, I'm like, it sounds cool and fun, but still really have no idea what the hell's going on in that department.
I think a nuke has been double-sided liquidity pooling Phantom with a spooky swap. The Uniswap of Phantom and just making a boatload of money.
And I also want to get into some
it's NFTs. Like a combo you're listing, yeah. Like, you know, the video game, like fight combo, like pinky squap, zuby, like spooky swap combo, double side liquidity, bang,
so, high score. Andrew, this is a good explanation, actually, because it's an interesting thing that's happening now across all these different layer twos or other Ethereum killers. Ethereum has Uniswap, and then we're going to get to the Uniswap stuff. Brian will have to explain it because we've been doing research, and this has to do with regulations, which is one of the big issues. But so, for instance, with Uniswap, Andrew, when you have Ethereum and then you want to swap it for something else, Uniswap provides these liquidity pools where you get rewards because they need to have supply of both coins. So what you do to participate is you take both coins and you give them both coins.
Is that called?
Liquidity pooling. Mm-hmm. Double-sided liquidity pooling. So you provide Ethereum and Urzdel, or you provide Ethereum and Link. And then when someone wants to swap Ethereum for Link or Urzdel,
do the amounts have to match?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're basically like, you know, giving equal amounts of this of two different coins and turning it into one coin that you loan into the liquidity pool.
So you mint a new coin of both of them. So that way people that want to trade have supplies of both coins, and then you get rewarded for a percentage. And this is decentralized finance because you're lending your two coins and your money to get a return. And then some of them, if you find the right pair, you get a shit ton of returns.
What do you mean find the right pair?
There's all sorts of liquidity pools around. And if you're really, really smart, you can lend money and get rewards and then take out loans and get rewards and lend it to something else and get rewards.
And your rewards will pay off your loan.
Yeah. Alchemix pays off loans. You can, it's the stuff that you can do with finance in decentralized finance.
So which platform does one use to do that?
There's so many. Maker, Compound. I mean,
Urzdel at a certain point back in the day when we were high on the platform.
Loans.
I mean, was able to manipulate that platform.
In May, I tried to do something like that, and then I thought I'd lost all my Urzdel. Like, got trapped in the nether sphere. And then it returned back in my wallet 2 days later.
Yeah, that's the scary thing, man. That's the risk you take.
Wild, wild west. It's but I mean, to be honest, it's not as risky as it used to be.
No.
A lot of these things are very serious. A big thing is the fact that all these developer teams are doxxed. It's not just some random anonymous stranger. It's like professionals that have LinkedIns that you can like...
Reputations on the line.
Yeah, no, reputations on the line. That's, I mean, Howie said like, if it doesn't work, my kids don't eat.
But also yeah. It's like,
if you screw over people and like rug pull them, you're going to have some really powerful developers and people with money that are going to be after you.
Yeah.
It's scary. You know what I mean?
It's like I said before on this podcast, like, what game do you want to play? Finite game or the infinite game? Finite game is like you could rug somebody and like get out and be done. Or do you want to like make it sustainable? So,
no.
That's why it's like, I think it's way more profitable to be, you know, sustainable.
And I mean, I think some of the stuff with DeFi, it's definitely going to, they were saying, there's an article, I believe, it's either Wall Street Journal, New York Times or something. The banks are scared.
Yeah, that's why it's like what all article this.
Was it? You can look it up, Ryan, and see which.
I know Elizabeth Warren
has
been saying stuff.
She's the worst.
About how crypto is the new shadow bank and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, Chainlink God, like, you know, had this whole chain of how HSBC is like laundering money for people.
Yeah, cartel. That's what kept us out of the 2008 is they started getting the drug money from the cartels. Literally, like, I mean, that's like down a different.
And it's so obvious where it's like you tweet and it's like you know who your donors are. Like you have JP Morgan and you answer those people. It's just so like it turns people off when you listen to people like that without like doing any research of like how.
Well, I mean, if you follow her career, you know that she has very close ties to the banking industry.
Yeah.
I think we're getting a little off topic here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, it's on topic because the SEC is going to hit Uniswap.
So they investigated they did a formal, like, you know, whatever, we're going to audit your findings or whatever your books, see what is decentralized and what is not.
So the thing is, this has been a conspiracy though. It's not a conspiracy. It's true. The Uniswap voting functionality, the governance, they have been voting for unpopular expenses for the, so it's like, who holds the votes? Because they were like, we're going to disperse $25 million to pay for, like, media.
Oh, no, it was an educational fund.
Where the money was basically funneled.
Yeah.
Like, well, the greater Uniswap community didn't want this, but, I mean, who holds the tokens for the votes?
But the thing is that it's a kind of like a Facebook thing where they're auditing something or like they're investigating something that they should investigate, but they're initially investigating it for like the wrong reasons.
Yeah. And they're just
like they're looking for the wrong thing
that they're going to be able to like, that was the story of like, it was like a tweet thread or something where it was like, okay, if you actually try to do the right thing, but you get investigated by the SEC, you're screwed.
Yeah, because it's just like the fallout, the media fallout, the damage that you can't recover. But, you know, Gary Gensler, you know, SEC chairman. I think he's bad for crypto because
he kind of knows what he's doing, like in a bad way.
No, it's just a money grab that he just wants a piece. He wants a piece of the airdrops. He wants a piece of like NFT sales. He's just like, we need to tax something to gain revenue. And, you know, the way that people get these airdrops, they're not paying taxes. Or like the yield farming where they're not paying taxes, they're not reporting these gains. And I want to investigate whether these are truly decentralized or, you know, whether there's centralization in some of them. Where I need to
just
tax.
Trying to get rid of the decentralized part of decentralization.
Exactly, yeah.
It's so dirty.
It's like Coinbase is like, to them, decentralized, but it's actually it's very like, centralized. It's like it's they have a public traded stock on the New York Stock Exchange.
Or you think they might make a coin? Maybe we need to, this is good to have Andrew here. Maybe we need to rein it back. Do you have any questions, Andrew? Like, did we lose you a little bit? Or?
No. I mean, you started talking about the SEC clampdown, but I just think in general, that's not going to deter your average Joe. A lot of people, especially like my mom, would feel more comfortable putting more of their retirement savings into something like crypto if they knew it was backed in some capacity.
Yeah, by the government.
Now,
right?
People, I think, 40 and under would not agree with that overall statement, but...
But do you want to explain about Gary Gensler? Because I don't think we've talked about him on the podcast. he's this new guy, and he actually understands crypto, and he's been hired by the government, and he's been saying with, like, an olive branch that, like...
He works for the government. He hasn't... Yeah. Yeah.
But he's like, we're gonna try to make it good for crypto, and, like, Ted Cruz was the one who stood up the hardest for crypto, to be honest.
Well, because the whole infrastructure, law...
In Texas, I heard, is getting a lot of people in crypto and blockchain. Same with Florida. I mean,
yeah, Florida's the main guy. Like Miami, I know when the China mining happened, they're like trying to get the miners. But like after that whole electricity debacle, do you really want to run your miners on that grid that could fail out? And
it's
just
almost
like
sketchy where it's like Greenpeace might be blowing up some like Bitcoin mining things.
What do you mean blowing up? Like, define blowing up. Are they,
like people, like,
trying to sabotage them? Or are they, like, trying to, like, you know, market, you know, Bitcoin mining?
No, people are protesting really hard. There was...
fucking Elon Musk.
That was the meme today. Was there was a person who was, like, a 13-year experienced, like, pixel art person. And they got offered $1 million to do an NFT pixel art project. And they said, you know what? My stomach is in knots, but I can't accept this because NFTs are bad for the environment. And it was just like, everyone was just shitting on them. They're like, why don't you just donate $1 million to the Amazon? Like,
yeah, jeez.
I mean.
Maybe don't send rockets to space, Elon Musk, if you're so concerned about the environment.
Also, if we replace finance with crypto, then we can stop wasting how much on banks, offices, buildings, you know, air conditioning, salaries.
It's an ongoing war between banks and crypto.
Yeah, and they're waking up how, and they're going to start putting their money.
They can't launder money anymore.
Yeah,
the banks, they can't help drug dealers.
Yeah. Well,
but it's funny how, like, HS...
It's kind of a weird angle because it's like, yeah, I mean, if crypto is easier to launder money than the banks, but the banks definitely launder money. That's why there's so much hypocrisy.
Yeah,
there.
So Chainlink God was like, you know, after Elizabeth Warren says crypto's the new shadow bank, he's like, shadow bank is what you're predicting. Rent-seeking, like, centralized, opaque, custodial, and censorable financial institutions.
It's going to be interesting when the blockchain comes to public stuff, where you can see what money your landlord pays for your house and what you pay him. Like, I mean, if the future is an open source distributed ledger, all the contracts and money and credits are going to be, I mean, this gets into the weird thing about the New World Order. Like, the government's going to track how much you play video games. Like, China's the test ground.
Smart cities. Like, yeah, they're cool in
you
nature.
You live in Google,
but,
Bill. You live in Google.
But everything
and
is, like,
Google
monitored.
Bill, you get 10 credits a week. I don't know. There's a dystopian feature about it, but did you, you think you really covered all this stuff from Uniswap, or was there more to look into?
So, basically, the news is just, like, they're investigating them. Nothing, like, no criminal charges, nothing. It's more of like, we want to see how your, you know, pipes work, basically. It's
I
like
think it's
going to
scare a lot of crypto projects away from America. Like, why not be in Panama?
Well, you always see, like, capital gains tax being an issue. Like, people are moving to Puerto Rico, especially with crypto, where the gains are so, like, astronomical.
It's like giving up a lot of money.
Like,
if you made it, like, I mean, yeah, even for anybody.
And also, it's like, it's bigger than your, like, daily, like, scalper on the New York Stock Exchange, where you're scalping, you know, 10% gains. You're scalping, or, like, technically, if you're day trading crypto, like, there are gains for coins that are, like, up 50%. Like, up. Like, if you're trading, like, large...
It just changes your margin because it's, like, legitimate.
Exactly.
You
have, like, QNT, yeah. I've mentioned this as a shill that I'm kicking myself, I didn't buy, was at 70, and now it's at 380, and just today, just today,
$380?
Yeah, just in like, so a month ago it was at 142. So even if you bought at 140, you like made you 2x, base 2.5x. But just today it's up 60%.
Gosh. What a Chad. So it's 5x from its lows, from a dip, from its dip?
Yeah, from its dip.
So it's a chill 5x.
Yeah.
And so whatever type of money you had in.
So even at 150, when it is considered high after it like jumped,
yeah,
it like went up even more, 2x from its all-time high.
This is the crazy thing.
In a week.
Maybe it was healthy to have the pullback because now the Chad projects are Chadding.
That's what we were saying. Like if you actually like invest in the dip, like if you started crypto in May, no matter what kind of education level or what kind of like background you had, if you just like invested in like big market cap funds, like, you know, you would make money.
Well, the weird thing for me was I like personally changed my like financial habits because I wasn't putting a chunk into crypto every month because I was more investing in like
401ks businesses
and stuff. No, for my like,
oh,
like paying for like salaries and like websites, yeah, and stuff. And then the thing is, over time, it was good to have, like, every couple weeks, you, like, buy something different and new. But, like, you also add on to your bags. But you start throwing, because, like, you hear about stuff.
Every day is something new.
Exactly. And so you kind of want to, like, space out your purchases over time. Because if you can hit something a few days before, and, I mean, Andrew asked me, because I posted a Twitter post that is, like, if you stay focused in Twitter, you can make money off of crypto.
Yeah, but you gotta be constantly day trading, though. You'll be taking like capital gains tax off each trade, basically. You're not holding for a year.
And you need a consistent, steady source of income to do different bets every day.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a good strategy where it's like, if you can just catch one, because there's some people that every day they just mint new projects. And I'm like, I don't know how you don't spend all your money and then you can't do anything for a while. But yeah, that's kind of what happened to me because I put my money in other stuff. But it was like, I regret not having like a chunk to do like, yeah, QNT, ALBT, more Solana, Luna. I had a good friend from college.
I would do Omar, Luna.
That told me about Luna. I mean, AVAX. I already had some AVAX, but like, it's still underwater. Hilarious.
Polkadot hasn't popped yet. There's
no, I know. And a lot of people have been saying Polkadot. Actually, mark it in the book. That's my shill, just because I've seen people that I trust.
It's still like 40% off Phantom, all-time high.
Also Phantom, because it's like both of those. It's like you look at market cap and it's room to grow. Because they were comparing. I gotta show.
That's why it's like hard to say like when a coin reaches like all-time highs, like whether to sell or like, you know, hold, or like you think it can go higher. Because like Suzu had this tweet like earlier today where there's like this common investing strategy when it like 2x, you take out your initial and just let the profits ride. And then he tweeted, you know, sell half on a double and free roll is probably the worst financial advice widely disseminated. You'd be much better off adding on a double if you don't understand why you need to think very hard about it until you do. The way I read that was wrong, but basically where it's like he's saying to add double, like double, basically double down on something like 2x instead of take out your profits, because mm-hmm. it's kind of like you invest more into your winners and not your losers. Because before he said, you know, a while ago on Up Only, he said like you don't want to take profits from your winners. Let's say you have FTM profits and then like, oh, these other bags haven't hit yet, I'm gonna put my profits into the lower bags and trickle down. Like, you shouldn't be doing that. You want to, like, stick to your winners and invest more in your winners than your losers.
And the thing that I think people don't realize about crypto is that it's volatile, and that's kind of like the point. Yeah. And like, I know people that were stock traders, like from my MBA,
mm-hmm.
and then they would trade the volatility index. And if you understand finance enough,
yeah,
you can just create a certain strategy where you're like, I don't care if it goes up and down. I actually want it to go really high up and down. And that's like those like
Google people like to trade off volatility.
Exactly. And so all you need to do is like hedge properly. And if you create, there's a way to create incentives where you, if things go up and down really quickly, you win either way.
Yeah.
Off the volatility because you pay for options trade.
Yeah, there's like people that are crazy that can trade, that need, like Keyboard Monkey said he needed to trade on volatility. Yeah. He didn't like trading.
No, and he was like, the volatility went down.
And then, yeah, this other guy that was on Up Only this British guy, Jim Talbot, he day trades. He trades the 30-second chart. Like, that's ridiculous, like, volatility if you're trading the 30-second chart. And it was funny where they had a question about, like, oh, what do your spouses think about your crypto trading? Or, like, you know, when you talk to your spouses, like, are they receptive to it? Or, like, you know, you're just trading money. Are they, like, you know, cool with it? The guy's response is like, I trade the 30-second chart. You think I have time for, or like, you think I have a girlfriend?
There's that meme of the person with the frazzled hair and the eyes just like
that. Yeah, just like, or like bloodshot eyes.
No, it's weird because people, and I have weird sleeping hours, and like the people I work with in India are like, it's crazy, man. Yeah, you're just like awake for our work hours, and then like you like are awake for your hours, and like we don't know when you sleep, and like we see you post on Twitter, and like. But I mean, with the NFTs, it's a bear market a bit, and yeah.
So if
Keyboard Monkey buys stuff, he's just buying up.
Yeah, a funny observation. You know, coming back, which did not happen back in like March and April, was like when ETH was pumping, NFT floors were lower. Like people were panicking because they wanted ETH and they were trying to exit, you know, their NFTs. So you got a lot of stink beds and people like panic selling. Like it's funny, like after
ETH. And then on the flip side, like ETH pumping and people wanting to like sell their NFTs.
Yeah. So like the floor for, I'm watching the Pudgy Presents because I think that's like a good investment. But like when I bought one, it was like 0.38. And then right when, you know, this pump started happening this week, the floor just got lower and lower and like dropped to like 0.28. And then, but the problem was like the gas was so high, so they count for the gas.
I want to buy more parallels. The last stuff I was buying were parallel alpha cards, and they were way more expensive than they are now. And I could have made money off the first ones I bought, and they kept getting more expensive, and I kept buying them. And then now the ones I bought are like, I could have gotten two for the price of one.
Dang.
But like, I want to create a set, because it's really interesting with the collecting and like the NFT stuff is having sets or having multiple so that you can have like, you can sell a few or you have some rare ones.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like with the Pudgy Presents, if you have one, you get a crappy one. If you have five, you might
but
get
it. I don't think it matters though, because it's a floor, right?
Like at the moment, but you don't know what happens once they hatch.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for instance, whoever got the M2 or the M3 serum.
Yeah, yeah. And then those eight lucky people got the 8 mega serum.
And one of the mega serums sold for, what was it, 1.3 million?
Yeah.
To mutate your board
just for like the process to mint using the serum. Just that, like, excitable feature. I might have, like, referenced that last episode where it's, like, similar to a Saudi prince buying someone's virginity.
Yeah.
Like a 16-year-old girl's, like, virginity.
It's crazy, too, because one of them is going to be held on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, did Michael hold on to his?
Well, you got two, so you can keep your, so you basically get a free Bordet.
But we know that there's people that haven't used their serum yet.
People just hold just to
so have in the serum. Future.
But people will buy serums just to, just buy, like, people have, like, the original one, and then they'll show the, like, tree of, like, oh, this is what it looks like with the M1 serum. This is what it looks like with the M2 serum.
I saw somebody
do so that. People will buy. Second.
They have three of them, and then it's like.
But you only get one first, so they have to buy the other serums.
I know. And so someone with an M1 and an M2, apparently the set of the three of them is valued at like $20 million.
That's an also thing where it's like you have a collection of, you know, the mutants, like this tree. And that's like something you don't really think about, like when it launches or when you mint it, you know? You just, when you, let's say you had a Bored Ape and then you got airdropped the serum, immediately, like, first instinct is to mint with the serum. You're not thinking about, like, the combinations and, like, what is that net worth of whether I have a collection of
all the serums. In the future, the serums are going to become scarce. How many serums are there left?
Yeah.
And imagine if the price of the Bored Apes go up. And then there's only a few serums, and somebody buys a Bored Ape, and like, never used a serum. Like, I want.
It's like a can refried beans in the apocalypse,
right? Yeah. No, and that's why Mooncats, bro. Mooncats. That's still my show. It's Mooncats,
dude. I think Pudgy Penguins is like similar to Bored Apes. In a degree.
You want to get to
the where it's like the marketing is a lot of marketing about NFTs. It's all like they have Pudgy Penguins in their like NFT art, or like the art article to click on is a Pudgy Penguin. Like that's like free marketing too. Like OpenSea.
The cuteness factor.
Yeah. The OpenSea.
And the weird thing is we're so deep into stuff. And in my mind, like, I'm going to launch a project, and instead of Ethereum, we're thinking Solana, but, dude, it's weird when you get into this little bubble where we're like, Solana's, like, new and up and coming. Dude, Ethereum, most people have no fucking clue. Like, this is back to Andrew. We're so early. It's insane.
Yeah. Imagine telling people, like, how to figure out, like, bridging to get cheaper gas prices, like even Arbitrum.
Even trying to
explain. We haven't even talked about Arbitrum, and that launched, and then, you know, you got a bridge over to Arbitrum, and I want to learn how to do that, but I like haven't had the time to sit down to bridge.
Maybe we should just like, I feel like this is like a to be continued moment though. Maybe we should wrap it up with some shills and like do another podcast, maybe up north at the cabin.
Yeah, I mean, the way things are going, I think with the bull market, we're back, man. It's going to be a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of...
There's new things just popping off. Like,
and this is different, and the fun thing about, I mean, interesting thing about crypto, too, is why it's, like, I'm, like, kind of hooked on it, is that, you know, 3 months... yeah, how I got... became a degen is that, like, you know, 3 months ago it was bullish, same kind of thing, but like, you know, the market kind of like mutated, right? Like back then 3 months ago we didn't have NFTs, and now we have NFTs,
and now there's NFTs on Solana.
Yeah, now there's NFTs on all these different,
every single chain has their own Uniswaps.
And there's all this potential too. Like, we're not even talking about like fractionalization NFT, like for real estate, like
creating of tokens and then
the like labs, dude. I'm this deep in labs. That was my first show on this podcast was labs. I think
Jeebus, the penguin dude, he's talking about how NFTs are going to be everything.
Yeah, they're like NFTs, it doesn't even have to be art.
It's like, going to be insurance.
It's funny how this clip went viral. They had like Paris Hilton on Jimmy Fallon. And Paris Hilton was explaining
NFTs
to Jimmy
Fallon. And she said it, and she actually...
And it was a very simplistic way. And a very broad, but it was basically smart contracts on a blockchain to verify something. It could be art, you know, an experience, ownership. It's basically ownership.
Yeah.
And ownership is so broad. And that's why you see
things... It has just started. We haven't even really used the main applications of NFTs yet.
Yeah, we talked about Theta like a month ago on this podcast too, and that's why they have connections with United or UTA or United Talent Industry, which is like if you watch Entourage, like that was like the big, agency that Ari got bought into, and that was a big deal. They have all these clients like Katy Perry is partnering with Theta. Like there's a lot of concert NFTs that are brewing that just haven't been released yet.
And what people were saying is that, for instance, Bored Apes, NFTs will be used as an in-group feature where you'll be able to display an avatar and then it will allow you into certain places.
It's an exclusive club kind of thing.
Clubs around NFTs and you'll only be able to get into certain parties if you have certain NFTs. It'll be a status symbol that will get you into places in real life.
It's clout.
Yes.
And that's like the whole thing with the Ether Rocks. Like it's 100 people, basically a collection of 100 people. But if you have a rock, like you are an exclusive club because you know each rock is worth like $5 million.
And it's you don't sell it.
And you don't sell it for clout.
Why? Yeah, exactly.
And it's a new thing now too. People are getting Apple Watches
with their penguins,
penguins, and with the rocks, or with their NFTs.
Yep.
And I think I don't know. I've like,
it's the real flex.
Apple Watches. Maybe it's not about Rolexes anymore. Once it's about your Apple Watch with your NFT on it.
Once they start 3D projecting up in the air.
Oh, like some futuristic shit.
I mean, dude, seriously, check the parallel 3D cards. It's incredible.
I just don't know which card is like going to be legit and one is just like a mana card, you know?
You need to make a deck.
Yeah, 50 cards that are each 0.1 ETH.
Five cards.
It's only five cards to make a deck?
Apparently, like, that's like the entry thing. You should have five cards to be able to play.
But what if you have five cards of the same like brand? Like, let's say
you're supposed to have five cards of the same one, and then the rest are fillers. Like, it's like those are the ones that you own that are part of your deck. But then you can like use filler cards to actually play. You don't actually need to own 50 or 60.
No,
that's the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I have to look into it because like the art looks really cool, but you got to research it.
They're going to dilute. But then the thing is, the originals should hopefully be worth more. It's a long play.
I like those kind of games. Battle insects, where it's like six of the same kind and you battle against each other.
Dude, I mean, NFT gaming is going to explode.
Yeah. I want to look at, I think play to earn, if the entry is low enough and you can play to earn and like, have like an Axie similar thing.
Yeah.
Like,
Axies, to be honest, I took a peek at it again. And I know Michael was playing it. It just looks dumb.
No, it's Neopets. If you were into Neopets back in the day, like, we're 90s babies.
I'm not 90s kid anymore.
Yeah.
They're, like, expensive Neopets. And what did you say? It's, like, $3,000 to play the game?
It's 0.11 ETH for, like, the lowest breed of, like that's the floor of, like, pets. Not even, like, imagining, like, the traits or the breeds.
To Andrew because
that's like a Tamagotchi.
Yeah, it's a Tamagotchi. It's like a metaverse, and you can have your own. Like you can sell land.
Yeah.
And people are selling their land like it's real estate. Like they're making $1 million off a plot of metaverse virtual reality land. But there's just the price to entry is just so high. But I think there's really opportunity. Like I was looking to sold that. What's that called? Star Atlas, which is like an exploration game on some Solana. It looks really cool. Like the graphics, the art.
It looked meme-y too, where someone was just like, they had like a Twitter thing where they were just like, dude, the name is Star Atlas. Do you know how smart you have to be to think of that name? Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just gonna ape.
No, but it's like, it reminds me, I don't know if there are gamers out there, but I played like Mass Effect back in the day. And it's just like space exploration. Like you choose your own character. You can have your customize your like armor and stuff.
Yeah, and now there's
that kind of
and now there's Bloop. And now there's ALGDB. There's BLGD.
Yeah, so we talked about it last week and it just launched.
Bloot. Did we talk about Bloot?
We didn't talk. We talked about loot.
But did
and I we thought it was stupid. No, we thought it was
stupid. I knew it was stupid, but I knew it was going to make money. Scams pump the hardest.
But it's not even a scam. It's like a haiku or like choose your own adventure words. It's like a Tinder profile. You have like, you know, 6-8 words that describe you the best. And like some of the words are like more expensive than others are like, you know, 69 or like, you know, some meme group. Dude, culture is currency. Culture is currency. That's why NFTs, it's part of the culture, man.
It's going to be a huge part in the future.
That's why it's like the PFP is like, where were you when this craze?
So the interesting thing, and that's what I think as well, is like, it's going to get, I already feel like it's getting like swamped. The whole.
No, that's what it's like.
But it's going to get more swamped. It's going to get really gross.
You think it's swampy now? It's going to be fucking
everywhere.
You know, McDonald's. China and clean air, like smog city. Like, it's going to be dirty. It's gonna be dirty, but we're ready for it because we're early.
Yeah, I mean, I got the blue chip. My funds are with blue chip NFTs.
Yeah,
I have my. These are blue chip illiquid JPEGs.
I'm a harvesting a penguin egg, a virtual penguin egg.
But, all right, should we get with the shills?
Let's get on the shills.
You want to start, Andrew?
What?
What do you think the shill is?
What's the move?
Yeah, what's the move?
In this market.
To an unemployed person or to someone that has money?
Let's say you got like $100 or something every week you listen to our podcast.
Well, I would
say you want to allocate $100. You
just said, because even if it's at the top right now, what did you just mention like 20 to 10 minutes ago?
That's a lot. QNT.
Yeah,
how it was like it was at the highest at 150 and a 2x, and then immediately like
I put $500 into Dogecoin when it was at 8 cents, and then it dropped, and I sold and got $250 back, and I kind of just left it in there.
You were at like 4,000, 5,000. Yeah, so dumb. I would have 20,000 if I had left my shit in Solana.
It's really dumb.
It's so irritating. And I know we're not supposed to
brag. Yeah, we're not supposed to look back at our failures. Like, that's
that's my only big one.
For the listeners, $20,000 would make a difference in my life. So, yeah. I'm not. It's some crazy baller. But, yeah. Solana.
Phantom. I mean, shit. Anything that I have in my wallet, as we just were talking about.
Yeah, Phantom is reaching
all 5 Don't cut your profits in half and let's, like, no. Double down.
Yeah. So you're going Phantom again.
Oh, and you were so dirty because you sold the Phantom I gave you.
No, you didn't.
You sold some.
I gave it to someone to get them into crypto.
Yeah.
That's a very generous donation. I don't know if I would just have them buy something on Coinbase.
Well, I gave because I wanted some cash and I wanted to test it. And we thought that we sent it into the ether, into the nether realm.
Yeah.
And I gave him some Phantom for $500 at 6 cents. It turned into like 30 really quick. But it was good to get somebody in. Seriously.
Yeah.
The airdrop style of like
giving people. Now you can't do that because gas fees are so damn high. It's hard to, it like defeats the purpose.
It does.
Of crypto.
Don't you think somebody's going to figure it out, though?
Yeah, someone will. It's like I mean, ETH 2.0 hasn't even like come out yet, technically.
But that was what David John was saying. Was it was like, yeah, they've been saying that for years now. It's the same as Link. It's the same as Cardano.
I think Link is, that's my show, honestly, is Link.
Chainlink.
Is right now, it's like, hasn't popped off like Solana, but you can still get it like at 30.
I heard Sergey's been just dumb.
But I think it's
just been selling millions.
I think it's suppression. Like, I think they're purposely making it low. But they want it to make it low. Like, it's way undervalued right now. Like, it's gonna, like, at a certain point, you can only suppress it. It's like a flood, and you're trying to block the door, hold the door.
Yeah,
like,
and then you start putting your fingers in the, you know, and then you can't get all of it.
And then all of a sudden, it's going to overflow. Like, you can only hold it for so long. And I think with all these integrations, like this, they had like 7 integrations in one day. And that was like on the Phantom network. It was on Solana. It was on like Scream. And it was on like all these big coins that are pumping.
The Metcalf law is going to
kick in kind of quick. It's a Metcalf's law, yeah, as a reminder.
I don't
have
1,000 link. I just want 1,000 link.
I have a good amount where it's
I had
like,
about as much as you did, but then I got a ping.
Yeah.
And it's worked out at the moment mathematically, I think. But it's getting to be...
Honestly, Link is it's a security blank. It's a hedge. Because it's like, it's a good, decent part of my portfolio, and it's safe to a certain degree where it's not as volatile. Like, volatile in a crypto sense.
It doesn't drop through the floor.
It doesn't drop to the floor, but you know it will bounce back. But...
Yeah, it's like a train that like is kind of just steady on.
It is like a 401k, where it's like you can have a down years for a 401k, and then you overall it will.
No, and then the weird thing is money. Like when you do the crypto thing, where it's like breathe, zoom out.
Yeah,
you're up 100% in a year. There was Ledger from Up Only did one thing where it was like, traditional markets 10%.
Yeah, 10% is a good year. And a while ago, I showed the Grayscale Trust Ethereum. I bought that at right before the market started bouncing back. I bought it at $19 when ETH was probably at like $2,500 or like $2,000. And now I like basically 2x. It's at 38. So
it's like casual. Like it's just like you kind of get numb.
And that's why it's like, I don't know. I think we're all going to make it. We're all going to be the 1%.
We're all going to make it.
And these people that are like, don't believe in it, I just like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you talk to enough people and they're like, even engineers.
Well,
the
people that I talk to, you talk to smart people as well.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to my college friend yesterday and he's an engineer. We lived together and I thought he would be super into crypto, but he's like not that. He's like into the high caps and like just Matic, but not like into like the MetaMask like shit coins.
Didn't Matic pump as well a bit?
It pumped, but not as much as others.
Is it to its all time high yet?
No, it's not, but it's close. It's like it hasn't pumped as big as like Solana or others, but. Also, another show is like any layer one blockchain or like ETH killer, like Solana, like Luna, AVAX, even this like Nano Cap show that I have, like Cell was up 50% today.
Yeah, I feel like also all the Uniswap clones, like Trader Joe,
SushiSwap was up. 15% today too.
No, I'm saying on the other chains though, like the Spirit Swap, Spooky Swap, yeah, Trader Joe's on Evax.
Yeah. All right, Daniel, what's your show?
I'm going back to Strong, and I still haven't really deep dived enough as I used to into it.
But yeah, there's all these tweets.
It connected with Phantom, and Strong is like running nodes as a service. So it's like giving computing power as a service. And then for the owners of the nodes, you get like steady income, like passive income. And apparently everybody that I know that got it just made a shit ton of money. And I've seen in the
people are tweeting, like, I'm making $1,200 a day off of Strong Nodes.
Yeah, I saw that exact same tweet. We have the same algorithm or a similar one.
So it's like,
I know. And I was looking at it at 300. I think it's at, what, 700?
I don't think there's, like, that much hardware that you need. You just need to enter.
You just need to buy it. Yeah. And then, yeah. And then.
So, like, yeah.
I'm at Strong, and, yeah. Like, kicking myself for not. Our shills have been pretty helpful. But, I mean, I know. This is, like, everybody's a genius season. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, we have been killing it.
But the funny thing is, like, I'm not investing in my shills. Like, I shill.
I know, yeah.
Every time I shill every week, I shill for the podcast. I'm not, like, actually putting money in.
Which is dumb.
And that hurts me.
I know, right? We're actually doing good shills.
But I'm in nerves, though, pretty deep.
Yeah.
That's...
Maybe a bit overexposed. Maybe a bit marrying your bags, you know, marrying a coin.
But that's the thing, though.
Like, you
could... That's the thing. Conviction, like, conviction. You... People don't, are like, if you're going to make it, people don't, like, diversify into, like, hit all these different coins at once. They focus on one risk, and they just put all their money in.
Yeah, there was somebody talking, I think, about...
That's, like, Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett and George Soros, where they were just like, yeah, like, I had this one really big bet. I'm like, oh, yeah, was it good? Or, like, how did it happen? Or how do you feel about diversifying? He's like... Only thing I wish is with that one big bet, I would have doubled down harder and taken out more loans.
Yeah, so like back in...
Michael Saylor, you take out a loan.
You mortgage the house.
There is no second best.
There's only Bitcoin. But yeah, so I'm just focusing on Urzel and Link, and that's... And then I got the shit, the other third is like other shit coins that I invest in, but Link has actually like kept my portfolio steady, not like keep like not underwater. Like it's been like a safety vest for a little bit. But you know, on that note,
yeah, we can wrap it up. It's a good episode.
It was a good episode. You know, Magnus was sleeping in the background.
Yeah. It's kind of calming. I kind of liked it.
But yeah, thank you for tuning in for another episode.
Advice.
Not financial advice. But you would have made money off of our calls.
For sure. Yeah.
We just don't want to be liable if you lose money. We only win.
Up only.
Up only. All right. Peace.
Nick.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, Nick. Bye. Yeah.